yo, Jay, can we get some ratchet one time? Look, I don't wanna talk. How you try and press the kid and read it, you was soft. All you know is capping, homie, you don't know the law. Pedal to the metal, you ain't catching me in park. I just hit the star.
There you go, DJ. Did you see that guy holding up his cell phone on that?
I would have to capture that, absolutely.
All right, folks. So what that has to do with the Marvels or the current state of the MCU, I don't know. That does, but I need to work on my
title. I'll work it in. I felt that that was a huge – when I watched the Marvels, it was a huge dick up my ass. All right, so we'll get that. That's how we work
you
that actually, in.
You found the connectivity in that.
I did.
So, folks, this is going to be a dual recording here from Danny J over here at DGB Productions Network and myself, Jeff S., True Knowledge, creator and co-host of the MC's Bleeding Edge over at DJB. I don't know if Danny's going to put this up on capes or what, but basically what we're here to do is we're here to work off a premise where between us personally, having, you know, not recorded very much with each other very, very often, and DJ finally getting back in the game here recently, he's also recently caught the Marvels. Way out of theaters, obviously, right? It came out last year, which we reviewed here on the Bleeding Edge, and we actually reviewed well. I think the lowest score on the film probably was a 6 on our panel, right, for the movie. And we even had 1-10, I think. That was my co-host Simon. Why he gave it a 10, I have no fucking idea. So just to be clear, folks, like, based right off that right there, I don't think the movie's a 10. But DJ basically thought the Marvels was a shitbox. With wheels or whatever, right? You know, like with wheels rolling down the street, off his, you know, checking it out on TV. And so we're just going to flush it out in conversation. And, you know, I'll put it to you this way. I personally found it at least entertaining. Now, I saw it in theaters. Maybe that made a little bit of a difference, but I found it at least entertaining. That's my only premise, is that it was at least entertaining to me. It was worth my movie ticket, you know, to pay for it. Right. So DJ, laying that out, if you just want to basically, you know, intro and then, just go through the film and whatnot, like we already did before. Right. Personally, just explain to me what it was, you know, on your first watch that kind of like threw you off with the film.
Right. I mean, and keep in mind, I love Marvel, and I try to give absolutely every movie or film or special adaptation a chance because I watch them all. They're all connected for the most part. So I'm watching it. Even if I'm not liking it, I'm liking it. I'm going in. Now, to give you a precursor, Captain Marvel, the first movie, I thought it was a dud. I wasn't into Carol Danvers. I didn't think she came off really well. Not even trying to be funny. Just like I think she just wasn't coming off well. She was very stoic in her performance. And Brie Larson's a great actress, too, which I think it's just the way she approached this character. Okay. So the movie was like a so-so to me. So going into this, I wasn't excited. Conflicting ideas. I do not like the character of Ms. Marvel. Never did. She's a child. I don't like child superheroes.
And you're talking about, you're going comic book origin here a little bit.
Comic book, yeah. First and foremost, I don't like she, you know, from what I saw in comic books and then what I've seen in animated features and stuff like that, I'm like, she's a kid with Mr. Fantastic's powers. Okay. They play her off as a, she's a mutant in the MCU, but she's a, what do you call that?
And she's an inhuman in the comics.
Inhuman in the comics, right.
She got her powers from the Terrigen Mists.
Right. Now, she is to me, a giant. Insert a female of a different origin other than white and give her some powers and let's boost her. It's an agenda piece. And I don't like agenda pieces at all. I don't like any agendas in movies, especially when it comes to comic books, superheroes, etc. All right. I want to see my heroes fight villains. I want to see a fantastic thing. The whole reason we watch stuff like this is to escape reality. Okay. I don't need reality thrown into it and thrown in my face. So that's why characters that seem to be an agenda piece, they turn me off automatically, right? But besides, I don't like child, aside from Peter Parker, and Peter Parker gets on my nerves sometimes.
You're paying to have somebody's fucking message shoved down your throat, essentially.
You are. And Spider-Man being my favorite character, yes, I know he's a kid. A lot of people say, hey, well, Dan, you don't like kid superheroes, but you like Peter Parker. Even some Peter Parker stuff gets on my nerves. It's like, all right, kid, stop. You know what I mean? Like, you have powers. Show some maturity with these powers because you're supposed to be saving the world, etc. It's not fun in games. You're not playing Legos. You're not playing Uno. You're saving the world. You know what I mean? So automatically with that. Now, the conflicting part of this is the actress who plays Ms. Marvel. I find her to be so charismatic and just so fun to watch as a person. I'm like, if I was a kid, I'd want to get her number and I would want to date her. If I'm like in the neighborhood, I want to be friends with this kid. She's just so charismatic. I'm like, I genuinely enjoy her, the actress, not the character, but the actress. And it's the first I've seen her in is playing Ms. Marvel. Okay.
That's her first gig.
Right. Exactly. And then you have, who's the one that plays Photon?
That would be Monica Rambeau.
Monica Rambeau.
Taylor Paris.
Right. You know, this bitch needs to get over it. She's pissed throughout the whole movie. And it's like, you know what?
Is that the writing or is that her?
I don't know. It might be the writing. But bottom line is Monica Rambeau in the show, in the movie, and we're kind of jumping around, of course, but she's mad at Carol because she left. But she's fucking Captain Marvel and she's going to protect the universe. So I'm sorry if that impeded in your playtime with Aunt Carol or Aunt, you know what I mean? Like, stop being mad, you know, grow the fuck up. Okay. She was an adult before she was blipped. Okay. It's 5 years later. It's only 5 year jump.
She's a grown ass woman.
Right. She was a grown ass woman when she blipped and she was a growner ass woman. That's not even a word, but you know what I mean? When she came back. Get the fuck over yourself. Get over yourself completely. Okay. Learn from, so, all right, now getting back to this movie, because you got me all flustered.
They wanted to inject some emotional, right? I believe that was the point of that whole deal, was they wanted to inject kind of emotional rift or something like
movie,
that.
Whatever. Now, with everything that's going on in Marvel, right, and all the firings and all the quality versus quantity and everything that's been going on, we've heard about through multiple shows and articles, etc., right? I have a feeling that this was a little too far in the game to cut it out. So let's get it going. Just like Ant-Man Quantumania, which was garbage as well. This I think was already too far along. And it's like, all right, we're going to have to get it out. We're going to do better. I think that's what Disney's aspect is, with everything changing around. But they did not change stuff around before this movie was made. I think this movie was already made.
They did cut an hour and a half of the movie out.
Yeah, right. Now, here's everything that's going on. This
45-minute long movie.
Here's the problem with Disney owning Marvel, is that Disney gets all over this shit, okay? And what I mean by that is this. There's agenda after agenda after agenda, right? First agenda that pissed me off before I even saw a half a trailer was that the main bad guy, right, they already gender swapped her. It's a dude in the comic books, and it's a female in the movie. Now you're going to say, Dan, why is that a problem? Not a problem, except for the fact that now this is a complete female movie. And why is that a problem? Not a problem, but you did this for a reason. Once again, going back to an agenda. Okay.
That'd be Dar-Ben.
Right. Dar-Ben is a man in the comic books. I find with Carol Danvers being so fucking powerful as they depict her, in the MCU, in the comic books, etc., you know, like, she should be able to fight anybody. If she could fight Thanos in Endgame, why can't she fight Dar-Ben as a man, right? There was no reason, in my eyes, to gender swap this character just to make it all females, right? It's almost like, and I don't have anything to back this up, this is just my opinion. It's almost like when that Endgame scene where you saw all the females get together and everybody's yeah, girl power. And it was a cool scene, right? It's almost like they're like, hey, we need to pay that off.
Let's necessary. It didn't have to happen.
Right. Let's make Captain Marvel's movie an all-female empowering thing. And so it was just all chicks, right? And I don't mean that disrespectfully, understand. But like, you understand, but like, I'm like, there was no reason for it. There was no need for Darben to be gender swapped. Okay. Then you have some comedy stuff with the Flurkins. All right. That reminded me of the Tribbles on Star Trek. Okay. So kind of funny, made me chuckle, but I was like, all right, this is wasting 15 minutes of my life in this movie that I'm already pissed about watching. Right. You know, when I was watching that part, I was laughing a little bit, but I was like,
what about how they treated Nick Fury's character in the movie?
Nick Fury's character. Now, this is coming right after Secret Invasion, which gets a lot of mixed reviews. Like, I didn't mind Secret Invasion. I didn't think it was great, but I didn't mind it. I really didn't mind it at all. But
it's been critiqued to death. It's been
it has been critiqued to death, and I'm like, I think you're looking a little too far into it, you know, for what it is. But I think
the budget had something to do with the DJ. They spent a lot of money.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. But now you're talking about, it's almost like Nick Fury's character development from Secret Invasion did a reversal back into this movie. And he ended up being softer in this movie.
Yeah, like, I mean, he
didn't really seem like he was in charge of anything. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
And then...
And his whole team is a bunch of adults.
It's a bunch of adults, right? And I don't know who he gets these people from. There's that 9-foot fucking black guy. I don't know who the hell he's supposed to be. He talks like, what's his name? that owns Papa John's.
I was going to say he's like Worf from Star Trek, but like Worf can.
Well, no, but he was articulate. Michael Dorn was articulate. This guy was Shaquille O'Neal. That's who he sounded like to me. He sounded like Shaquille O'Neal. I'm like, this guy's like 9 feet tall, makes Nick Fury look like a midget, right? And then like there was the other girl. I think she was like it just seemed like there was. I don't want this to sound bad, but this is just observations, right? There was like no white people in space. Okay, can I just say that? I'm not saying it for a racial thing. It just seemed
like there was no white supply on that shit.
Don't apply. This is not your neighborhood up in here, right? So it was like they put it was. This is what I mean by how servicing this movie was. It pissed me off. Nick Fury being a black guy, right?
Didn't they have one white girl?
Yeah, she got ate by a cat. I mean, what the fuck? You know what I mean? So like, so. It's like, think about this for a second. Nick Fury's a black guy. Let's just surround him with more black people. So this way he looks like he's together. Like, what? Like, what is this? Right? No Chinese or Indian.
And then the family, too. Of course, we talked about that. The family.
Yeah. For as secret sword's supposed to be. Her, what's the name? Ms. Marvel's family gets taken up there. For what reason? There was no reason. For him to be up there. And they pulled an Aunt May. What I mean by an Aunt May, remember in Amazing Spider-Man, right? Where the power goes off and Aunt May's working in the hospital. And all of a sudden now this old woman who's like part-time in a hospital is now saving people's lives in the hospital. Like, who the fuck are you? Stop. Like stop this bullshit. Her family was helping and was like ushering people along. You're not official. You get the fuck in the cart and get out and get back in the home.
Well, yeah, like when do they become like professionally knowing how to use Flurkins and shit? And whatnot,
right? Like on Sword, it was like Nick Fury, giant black guy, small black woman or Indian woman. I honestly forget who she was, what she was. And then Ms. Marvel's family. That's the pecking order. Like, who the fuck are they? Stop. Like, now you're breaking.
Like, where's Reed Richards?
You're making, like, this is supposed to be fun and comic booky, and you're making me try to make sense out of it, which is pissing me off, right? So I'm like, this is bullshit. The fact that they made it an all-woman movie was bullshit because they did it for bullshit reasons.
Well, then all females understand right,
sir. Understand it. I am not women bashing at all. And
movie was all written by women.
Right. Like put it all on Lifetime.
Every corridor. There's every corridor.
That's my bad joke. Put it on Lifetime if you want to, but like, don't make it a Marvel movie, because if you pissed me off, you didn't need all that servicing. And that's what I mean. It's servicing. It really pissed me off because the servicing was outdoing the story, which is what we talked about before, that I don't think it was written really that well. The premise of the movie sucked. It was slow. The premise of the movie was her getting access to these warp things to warp the one planet into the other universe to get water.
She had the other bangle that Miss Marvel has
won. Aren't they doing this water thing in fucking Dune? Do we need it in this too? First off, okay. Secondly, like, this was your big thing. Like, I'm just going to control these warp holes so we can go get some. Go fucking CVS and get water. Shut the fuck up. Like, you don't need, like, there was no apparent danger.
The Annihilator.
And then the Annihilator, which is a fucking character in Marvel, now they're naming Carol Danvers the Annihilator? Like, where did that come from? That's another thing. And, dude, I watch more visual than I read, okay? So I'm not going to sit there and say I'm a comic book purist. Okay, I don't sit there and read all the comics and stuff like that. I don't like reading. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I never did it as a kid. But I watch visual formats and stuff like that. So I know, I'm aware of what things are, who people are, etc. And I'm like, this shit was all over the place. Okay? Ms. Marvel's family were not that funny in the show. So I don't need them to be in the movie. Carol Danvers was a snorefest in this movie, right? Then Monica Rambeau, get the fuck over your bullshit, okay? I'm sorry that Aunt Carol had to go save the fucking universe instead of playing Legos with you, bitch. Sorry, okay? Then you got the Flurkins. Like, that was just dumb. Like, they spent all that time having the Flurkins swallow everybody, right? But yet, like, just get them in pods and get them. It was a stupid concept that we couldn't get them out in time. But you had time to have the Flurkins chase these people around. Like, the people weren't voluntarily getting eaten by the Flurkins. They were running around like it was chaos, like it was aliens, right?
And you so built therefore, this like $27 billion space station shit, whatnot. You didn't equip it with enough pods to.
You know, the same thing happened many years ago, and it was called the Titanic, right? The fucking boat that was unsinkable sank, and it didn't have enough lifeboats for everybody. So the same thing happened then. As it did in Sword. Okay. I'm just going to say it. All right. So, and then your biggest payoff, right, is your end credit scene where we get to see Beast. So we're introduced, and I'm not going to get into it. If you haven't seen the movie, well, I'm going to tell you, don't bother. But if you haven't seen the movie, I don't want to spoil what's happening. But at the end credit scene, you get to see Beast from the X-Men. And I'm like, this entire movie, which, how long was the runtime? Was it like an hour and a half?
Oh, let's see. It was, let's see here. It was.
What's it say there?
Let's see. The budget was 274, like I told you before, million.
Yeah. Yeah.
Approximately. The box office was 206. The running time for the film, I don't have it here, but I believe it was a little over an hour and a half.
Okay, so maybe an hour and 45 minutes. Maybe we'll call it that as an example, right? So you have an hour and 45 minutes, say, just to introduce that mutants are coming. That pissed me off for something that could have been in a show, for something like the whole movie was almost like it was created just to have the Hank McCoy scene in the end credits. You know what I mean? Like we need to just get from A to B so we can get the Hank McCoy. That's what it seemed like to me, because there was, like I said, no premise in that story of that movie.
No, it's discombobulated. Basically, at that point, the Monica Rambeau character is trying to, like, she's trying to, you know, save the, their reality, whatever, whatnot, everything, and close this like portal and whatnot, and she gets sucked into another reality.
You're talking about Monica Rambeau.
Yeah, and they just kind of and they just throw it in there. You know what I mean? They just throw it in.
I mean, to my disgrace, she wasn't like disintegrated. I was like, just disintegrate her and be done with it.
Oh, man.
And just be done. Just be done.
Yeah. I thought she was actually all right.
Because her mother was, she wasn't bad in WandaVision. Her mother was Captain Marvel in Doctor Strange 2. Yes. So what would have been great would be to have her swap with her mom. And then we get rid of Monica, right? There's some servicing for me.
She's been Captain Marvel before, too.
I know. They're going to make her everybody.
She's been a lot of things.
She hasn't been in Marvel, but she already has been depicted as a bitch, because that's exactly what she is.
I'm so
over her, right?
That's how the Marvel Comics, they put her in charge of the Avengers there for a while.
And then if I already wasn't interested and pissed off enough, at the very, very end, they're putting together the Young Avengers, which I do not care about at all.
I'm with you on that.
I'd rather rewatch The Defenders from Netflix, which was garbage, than watch an Avengers movie with Young Avengers. I'll be perfectly honest. The way the MCU has gone, now the legacy characters are pretty much past their time, right? We can get into it in another show or whatever the case is, but like Eternals was horrible. Fucking hated them. Hated every one of them because they were like just so pointless to life. Okay.
I think I told you before my date fell asleep during it.
Just hated. I was falling asleep during it.
She fell asleep for 30 minutes.
I was like, this is so horrible, right? Didn't need that movie.
When you take your date to a Marvel movie and she falls asleep.
Yeah. But then they have, they do this with this fucking movie, and I was just so pissed because it was just such servicing. It was just such servicing, and that it was just like, not that we're going to get into it, but just like Echo, I wanted to like throw up after watching that series because I was like, this was such a Disney.
I'm surprised you watched it. I'm surprised because everything is connected.
That was a long way to go for just setting up Kingpin to go for Spider-Man 4.
Was it the trailer?
That was a long way.
When you saw the trailer, were you like, fuck, I might as well watch it?
Well, anything Marvel, I'm going to watch just because you have to. You know what I mean? They're all connected. They are all connected. So as a Marvel fan, I'm going to go through and I'm going to watch everything. And, I'm hoping I'm going to like it. I'm not going to like it. Like, I didn't like her character in Hawkeye.
You still have the optimism. It's still there for you, whatever, whatnot, where you still want to be optimistic and you still want to.
But then you watch Echo and you're like, oh, here's another. Let's take a Navajo female with one leg. We're really packing it the fuck on, right? We're really packing it on. Let's make her a minority. Let's make her have a handicap. Let's make her a female because in this world, unfortunately, females are still secondhand nature, which is horrible in 2024. Because understand, I do fully support women. I am not some chauvinistic guy. I understand this, right? But that show was so Disney. And then her powers meant nothing to me. They made no sense. Made no sense at all. I hated that fucking bitch. I wanted her to blow up.
How about that girl at the end when grandma got powers and all that shit? Whatnot?
Yeah, you know what, dude? Let me tell you something. I almost wanted to watch a DC movie. That's what, at the end. I was like, let me watch Aquaman because I just got to get out of this thing.
We watched Aquaman 2. We watched Aquaman.
I watched Aquaman 2, and it was slow in the beginning, but it was a fun little movie. I have to say it was about as fun as Venom. And Venom, like, you know, is a movie that should not have made the money that it made.
See, Aquaman 1, I thought was really good.
Aquaman 1 was good. Yes,
that's what threw me off. That
2 was not as good as 1.
Because like the first 20 minutes, whatever, whatnot, just did not hit for us.
Yeah.
You know, so we just.
Well, guess what? It took 20 more minutes before they actually started getting some action. So it was like 40, you're like 40 minutes into an hour and a half movie.
Like it seemed like a goof fest.
Yeah.
For like what we saw. You know what I mean? But no, but so as far as to stick to the Marvels, right?
Yes.
So first question. Right.
I'm sorry, because I got on a tangent. Ask your question.
No, you're right. Sorry. All right. Yeah. Better than Captain Marvel, worse, and why?
Not better than Captain Marvel. I think Captain Marvel, although I felt was a boring movie, and I think that was just based on how Brie Larson portrayed Captain Marvel, I thought the plot was there. Now, granted, it was an origin story, but there was a well-made plot in Captain Marvel that you were able to follow. It made sense. There were consequences to what happened, and it set things up. It set things up that you wanted set up. Does that make sense? Like this movie, aside from saying, hey, mutants exist, it set nothing up at all. It set nothing up at all. If anything, in the Marvels, I wanted them to run into the Borg and have everybody be assimilated.
So that's essentially you're saying that they pulled off the origin story at least.
Oh, like, yeah.
The Marvel,
oh,
yeah. They pulled off the origin.
Yeah, now whether you like it or not.
Might have been a really good film, but I mean, I just saw her. I just reviewed 21 Jump Street with Andreas over on his channel. So I saw Brie in that. She's pretty good in it.
No, right? She is. She's a good actress.
She's got comedic chops.
She's got more oomph in the Nissan commercials than she does as Captain Marvel.
That's, she actually has some. She's not movable. You know, she has some range. I've seen her do it.
Yeah. No. It's absolutely.
Just, for whatever reason, she just was not cast well as Captain Marvel.
Or she's just not being directed well as Captain Marvel. Maybe that's it. Because she's not. The writing's horrible. No, I was going to say, I'm sorry. The writing is horrible. But I think overall, she's if you look at not Brie Larson, if you look at Carol Danvers, what we've seen in the movies, she's not a likable person. No. She was very like standoffish with Ms. Marvel. It was like almost a breath of fresh air when you get to the planet where everybody sings. And she's singing with the husband or whatever.
That was a solid part of the film.
Yeah. Now, if that scene was in Beauty and the Beast, I would have loved it. Okay. So once again, Disney fucking reared their big head in this Marvel movie. You understand what I'm saying? Like once again, it was silly. You know.
Well, that's how rough the movie really was, folks. Just to be honest here, I'm not like a soldier for the Marvels over here. I'm like fighting Danny about being bad. Like it's not a great movie.
No, it's not. But they did not do it justice, is what you're saying, though, too, by editing as much as they did.
Like, literally, like people that can only sing.
And then, know what pissed me off, too? Ms. Marvel, her, like, what they missed in this was, and I think you'll follow me along with this, is you know that old saying when you finally meet your hero? Sometimes you're not prepared as to what you're going to meet. In other words, they may not live up to your expectations, right? So in this movie, you really do start, you see that Captain Marvel is not the greatest thing since sliced bread like Ms. Marvel makes her out to be, right?
And no, they wanted that has to do with the Monica Rambeau emotional stuff. They want to show her as being vulnerable. And right, and having flaws,
right? But you fuck Monica Rambeau because I hate the bitch because she just stop. You're an adult. Get over yourself. Like her reason for being mad was so fucking stupid. She needed to get beat up because of it. Legit. Right. But my point was, why couldn't Ms. Marvel? And you had droppings of it in certain scenes where she's like I think when they had to make the choice of leaving some people behind, right, during the attack. And Ms. Marvel, she wanted to run out because she's a kid and she's got so much hope. And she wanted to run out and save everybody. And Carol's like, no, we can't. We got to do what we can do. And we need to get the hell out of here, basically, right? So this was a thing where, like, there's, like, you see, like, like almost like she's disdained by the decision, right? And that is because she's how young she is and how new of a superhero she is, that now she's seeing that this isn't all fun and games, right? That there's consequences to this, and it's not glam and glory to be a superhero.
There that could that they missed, that they could have taken advantage of.
They were almost there, and I thought they were. I legit thought they were going to go there to where Ms. Marvel was going to learn something, right?
So by to take from the film in some way.
Yeah, right. Like I thought she was going to be. I thought she was going to be let down by Captain Marvel, right? And she was going to learn a lesson from this that was going to make her a better superhero, right? Like, especially and even
the Young Avengers shit, right? Like,
you right? Her, and
right? if she's the one recruiting the team, right?
Right, right. And that even maybe Carol, because she's too caught up in her own shit, would learn something from this kid. Like, I thought that would be.
So there'd be like a double payoff.
Right. And that in neither payoff happened. Because then she's like, once again, I'm a stand-up comedian, guys. So, like, understand I say things for shock value and funny, but I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But like,
oh, will you stop it, DJ? This is code.
I know
code,
this is MC. I know this is MC. Yeah, I know.
What are you kidding?
I'm so like PG compared to you.
With a fucking
a dildo. I know. Right, but like Ms. Marvel is borderline lesbian.
That's for Captain Marvel. Called a chauvinist to this point.
Like she's like she. I forget what she was doing, but she was saving something, and they're in the jet or something like that. And Ms. Marvel's sitting there, and she's like, Captain, my captain. Like, oh my God, dude, just pull her pants down and make this at least a little visually fun for
and then
me.
They had to insert that they had to insert what's her name from Thor in there too, just for some order.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Thor, yeah. Right? And she's like,
but I mentioned it.
Yeah. And she is like, and it's funny because you think there's
and she is a dyke.
No label.
She's supposed to be a dyke.
Asgard,
she's a right? dyke. She is. She's
and she's completely. She's like. If Godzilla was the king of all monsters and then they make Mecha Godzilla, she was like mecha lesbian, like legit, like Valkyrie yeah,
she's
is
flaming.
Like,
she's flaming.
Oh my God, dude. Like, I'm like, I was secreting milk.
Flame
after
on.
Watching this movie. Flame on. Stop. Stop.
Flame on with Valkyrie, DJ.
The views and things said on this show are all through Jeff S. and not the DJ.
Oh, no, okay.
Okay. But like legit, like I was secreting milk towards the end of this movie. Like it was like what like Lifetime was like, dude, bravo.
You hit menopause.
Like legit. They couldn't, aside from killing every male in the movie, they couldn't have made a bigger Lifetime special.
I'm surprised Nick Fury survived.
Yeah!
Honestly.
That's what I'm saying.
They neutered him fucking like completely as a character. They literally
and you know, it. Let me explain something to you. As an artist, as someone that writes, I'm a writer and I do things and I have creative and I my network, I have 8 million shows that I produce and stuff
you
like that.
And you do stand-up comedy.
And I do stand-up comedy and stuff like that. And I'm a writer. I write a lot of stuff. When you have the ability to say, I don't know, showcase an opinion on something that's strong out there. Like, let's say, I'll just throw as an example, say like Black Lives Matter, okay? And like, you want to write an episode, say you're writing a series and you want to write an episode where you're promoting Black Lives Matter, right? If you have the clout, if you have the viewership, et cetera, and you can get your point across in that, that's cool. No problem at all. I think that's great, right? But when you make, once again, your entire thing to push your agenda, I'm not about it. I'm not about it at all. Because you've done to this movie what I didn't want you to do, which is to insert reality into it. Okay, I'm watching superheroes. Let's just say that out loud. I'm watching superheroes, people with powers, so that I don't have to worry about racism. I don't have to worry about financial problems, war in the Middle East. I don't want to worry about any of these real life problems that people have to deal with on a daily basis and still struggle. And some people struggle harder than others and have to get on and go the next day and do this stuff. Like, I do that on a daily basis, right? I want to watch this so I can escape. Legit. And people laugh. When I get done work and I'm not doing shows and I'm not working, whatever, I sit on the couch, my hands are folded like this, and I watch cartoons and I almost start drooling. My wife's like, you look like you're a savant in a mental institution. And I was like, because you know why? I shut it down. This is my time to just relax. You know what I mean? And I want to watch these movies and do just that. I want to be entertained. I don't want to be educated. I want to be entertained. If I want to be educated, I will watch a documentary. I will watch an educational film. If I want to be entertained, I want to watch Captain Marvel beat up Darben, the guy who is fighting her. You understand what I'm saying? I don't need all these social innuendos. I don't need all this political correctness, okay? Understand that in a world, in life, if they want to intersect reality into these shows, let's be real about it for a second, right? Because they intersect all the stuff like, we're lesbians, we're transgender, we're this, we're that. They want to make sure that everybody's like, I'm woke. But nobody ever shows the bad side of it, which are the people who are disgusting and sit there and say, I don't like that. I don't like you because of this. They don't show that, right? They don't show that at all. So you can't show all the good and not the bad if you want to be real, okay?
I think people in the audience probably know what checking all the boxes means. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right, exactly.
You know, and that I have a problem with that too. I don't like that. You know that, you know full well, Danny. I don't like that kind of mentality at all. With any kind of film or.
Let me tell you something. The only place it fits is with the X-Men, because it was the X-Men. The X-Men were written based on prejudice. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Literally, they were sacrificed
in a certain way. It was written. You know what I'm saying? Right. You know the legacy of the X-Men and how Stan Lee governed that. You know how.
But
they,
it was never
influenced by politics. You know what I'm saying?
No. But X-Men was social commentary based on what was happening in the 60s at that time.
But there was no swing on it.
What they did was they took racism, and instead of being black versus white, they said humans versus mutants. And they were able to get all their social commentary out in a fantastic way. And it works. It works. And you know why it works? One, because that's what the show was based on.
But it's how you deliver it.
It is how you deliver it, but it was based on that. I don't think Captain Marvel, in all honesty, is based on women empowerment. I think Captain Marvel is based on Captain Marvel took the power from Marvel and she became Captain Marvel. Bottom line, done. That's it. Like there's no social commentary along with it.
Let me ask you a question, DJ. If Captain Marvel could take on Thanos, Endgame, right? Yeah. You know, one-on-one and all this shit. When he took the whole fucking Avengers on his own, right?
Right.
Like straight up, like right through him. Mm-hmm. Why the fuck does she need Miss Marvel and fucking Photon to fucking take Darben?
Well, if you got the underlying message there was to learn how to depend on others, that was actually a thing that you catch in there. Where Carol had to learn that she doesn't have to do it all her own.
It makes no sense, though. It's still one of those things, like just to bounce off the stuff. The disjointedness of the film. Maybe that has to do with how much they cut out.
And you know what? Not for nothing, too. She was so worried about seeing Monica, right? You know why the fuck you were away. You don't have to defend yourself to Monica. Monica, you sit down and you listen to Aunt Carol, because I was defending the universe. What the fuck were you doing?
You're busy annihilating.
Yeah, I'm busy. I'm an annihilator, bitch. Which once again,
you killed the sun and shit.
Which somehow. once again, Captain Marvel is not the annihilator. I'm just saying. I hate this writing. I hate it. So bottom line.
Every time Darben said that in the movie, I'm just like, I was
and
laughing.
Everybody on your show.
The crackhead I look she had going on with that deal. And then the annihilator.
I was like, and she's like, I don't like that name. Well, yeah, because it's not yours, bitch. Stop. Let me tell you something. I love everybody on your cast, but everybody that gave this movie a high rating, they are never going to be on my shows ever. No, it's not happening.
You're fucked.
Horrible. Horrible. You're fucked. You're banned. You're banned from the network.
Whether it was a 9 or a 10, it doesn't matter.
I don't give a shit. Even if Boston gave it a 6, that shit was below a 5.
I think I was the 6.
Were you the 6?
I might have been fucked up that night.
I hated this movie. I really hated this movie. And once again, I need to put the disclaimer out there. I am not a hateful person. I'm not against women or anything like that.
I think everybody knows that you're. I know it's been a really long time, but I think everybody can tell that you're not a hateful person.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I hate the term woke. I hate. And I'm not saying stay in the Stone Ages either, but I hate the term woke because people, I think, take advantage of.
You know, we don't bandy that around here. We don't.
Right.
You know
right. I think people take advantage of that.
It's one word. You know what I mean? Whatever, whatnot. And that's it. Like, I don't
and understand. I'm Gen X. I'm a little older than you. So, I mean, I'm Gen X.
I know that.
We grew up minding our own business. And so it's not, that's not a hateful thing. It's not a racial thing and stuff like that. But like I said, if I go down the street and I see you, Jeff, standing at the bus stop, right, waiting for a bus, by looking at you, I should have no idea what you're into. Sexually, physically, anything. I should have no idea. You know why? Because one, I can't make an assumptive by you. Two, it's none of my business what you're into, just like it's none of your business what I'm into. So like, you know what I mean? Like this whole thing about like,
no, until it crosses.
You know what I mean? Like,
my shit's affecting you. You know what I'm saying? Whatever, right? Yeah, like, at that point, it's moot.
So all this stuff of like putting the stuff out there, like, let me tell you something. If you need, I'm going to say this, and this is going to be a strong statement, and it's not going to get a lot. It's probably going to get a lot of hate comments, whatever. If you need empowerment, then I think you better look deep in yourself because you are lacking the confidence that you need to be empowered. Because let me tell you something. I'm a confident person. I don't need pats on the back, personally. I don't. I'm not saying that to be like I'm cool or better than you or whatever. But I'm very confident in what I do. I know my limitations. And so therefore, I do not need a pat on the back. Okay? So this whole like support of this and support of that, whatever, as long as you don't hate me for having this opinion or like you could hate me because I punched you in the face. You could hate me because I killed your mother, but don't hate me because I love this man or I love this woman. You know what I mean? Like that's my point is that like, just be confident in who you are and be a good person and forget about all these labels. And that's what these woke this woke generation is. It's almost like I always make a joke. It's like it started with participation trophies and it never stopped. Like it's like it, like legit, like just it's okay to like if you don't like this, don't watch it. Because never forget, we live in the land of the free, the United States, whether you want to say or not. But you could sit there and say about anything but racist cops and people that are against women. But you know what?
Hey, when in I first country, met you, I used to have the American flag behind me in my background. Remember?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. But you know what I mean?
Remember? A long time ago?
Yeah. But like, you see what I'm saying? Like, just be a good person. That's my point. And forget about all this other bullshit.
And that used like, to be a that used to be a part of being in the States too. You know what I'm saying? Is that we are good people, right? But like, to wrap up the Marvels, right?
That's what we're talking about.
Let me run some quick questions by you.
Yeah.
So, all right. So characters, plot points, that you know, scenes, particularly whatever, whatnot, that in the film that you did like, if you want to just rattle off a couple of whatnot, everything that were positive. I know you mentioned Vellani, the actress as Captain Marvel, as Miss Marvel, obviously.
Yes. She, legit. She, I really liked her.
They changed the whole trailer for when they put it on Disney Plus to where it's all her in the trailer.
Because she's the most likable person in the whole movie. Period. Like her line delivery is fantastic. Comedically, She is hilarious. And I'm not going to say, and I don't want to sound like some like dirty old man or whatever like this, but she is so effing charming. Like, I'm like,
oh, can you like, imagine things I've already said about her?
You know what I mean? Like, and I'll say it, and I'll say it in a nice way. If I was her age, I'd be totally into her and say, oh my God, I got to get your phone number. I want to be with you. Cause she's so charming. She really, really is charming, and it comes off. So she's the highlight of the whole movie. She really, really is.
Basically, folks, in Bleeding Edge speak, what DJ is saying is that if DJ was at the same age as Mavolati, he'd hit that shit.
I'd be like, hitting that shit.
He'd hit that shit.
I'd be young hitting, as they say.
She's that charismatic. She is. And she's very attractive as well.
She's a very attractive young girl. She really is. But she's just so funny. And her and I love comedians. I mean, I love, like, everybody jokes with, I love Ariana Grande. Oh, but understand,
the whole film,
Ariana Grande, who is a great singer and who is gorgeous. But she's funny as shit. The woman is a comedian, and that's something that attracts me as a person, because I'm a comedian as well. So I mean, I love that, right? So she was the make of the movie.
Well, Sarah Bennett, he cast her, right? I mean, cold. She never acted in anything until she did Miss Marvel. And I told you before, DJ, just to be clear, that when we were, I thought Miss Marvel was the best Disney Plus series that came out last year. The year before, or whatnot, right? What else came out
that year?
The Moon Knight, right?
You know what? It's like when you take the Phillies and you put them against like your local Little League team. I guess they are going to be the best thing.
You understand
what I'm saying? Moon Knight sucked.
She has a lot of charisma.
She does. She has so much charisma, and she's got so much. I hate her character. I like her. It makes it.
Is there anything else about the? Was there any other strong points? Anything specific that you would want?
The singing was, and I do like Disney. I ain't gonna lie. The singing when Carol is with the husband, and they're dancing and singing stuff like that. It was a very pleasant. It was very uplifting, and it was a turnaround to see Brie Larson being a little charismatic. It was nice, you know what I mean? In that faction. The rest of the movie, I can't pick. It was going downhill fast throughout the entire movie for me otherwise.
Well, then I'll just bounce right now off that and just say, like the side would be, the vice versa would be, like, you know, what are the death knell points of the movie? Like, what really makes it as bad as it is, you know, overall?
If you're going to be technical without opinions involved, I think the plot, the story was poor. It was really convoluted. Like the whole, like we didn't even talk about it, but the whole. They said cosmic entanglement is what they used.
That made no sense.
It made no sense. And because guess what? They were still using their powers and they weren't flipping. Did you notice that?
Why were their clothes changing too? Like,
why weren't their clothes changing? Somebody brought this up, like when she switched with Monica and she was in space, why wasn't Monica outside of a spacesuit, like suffocating?
And why could Monica fly, but she's like afraid to fly?
Right. So like, yeah. So that was just a dumb, it wasn't explainable. And they try to explain it, and they didn't explain it easy either. And it just wasn't it. So that sucked. I thought the plot was very weak. It was a very, very weak plot. Like, I thought it was even weak for a TV show episode. Does that make sense? Like, you know, like a TV show episode might be much lower stakes in a movie. I thought it was weak for a TV episode. So, like, that, I thought that overall, like, I'm like, why is everybody doing this? And here's something. The beginning of the movie, right? Some shit's happening. Nick Fury calls up Carol. She's just like hanging out in a ship doing nothing. Right? So it reminded me of Roscoe P. Coltrane in the Dukes of Hazzard waiting behind a tree just for them Duke boys to fly by. Like, he was, for someone that's supposed to be defending the universe, she's fucking just sitting there like in her underwear, just hanging out, eating bonbons. I don't know what the fuck she was doing. You know what I mean? But like, she was, and she's like, yeah, all right, I'll go. Like, she wasn't like, all right, I'll have to do it in like a day. She's like, yeah, I have nothing to do. I'll go do it right now. Like, what the fuck are you? Stop. Like, you pointless bitch. I hate you. like, stop. You understand? So I hope everybody has an understanding of why I don't like this movie.
I think it's pretty clear. You want to give me a rating on it?
If I was going to give it a rating,
give me a 1 to 5.
A 1 to 5. And I want to be realistic. And the only reason that it'll get a number, and I'm going to be dead serious, the only reason it gets a number for me is because of the actress, not the character, the actress that plays Ms. Marvel. What's her name again?
Iman Vellani.
Iman Vellani, right? I like her, the actress. The character's horrible. Ms. Marvel is a horrible character. I'll give it a 1.
Okay.
1 out of 5. Because she legit was the only redeeming thing in the movie. For
that's
me.
Like a D plus. That's not that bad.
It's like a what? A D plus. Yeah, it's like a D plus. You just passed. You just got yourself out of summer school.
Yeah, you passed. Right? You're of age, right?
You're of age.
Yeah. There you go. So, yeah, all right. So let's delve into this MCU slate, okay?
Yeah,
this
please. Go ahead.
This one we got coming out this year, right? And then what we supposedly are going to get next year, right?
Yeah.
So what we're looking at, right, is going to be Deadpool and Wolverine, July 26, 2024. Right, mm-hmm. Your thoughts. Give me the buy seller hold on that shit.
You know what? 1 and 2 were great. I think, and they're allowing them to do everything as needed to just say, hey, you know what? It wasn't broke, so let's not fix it, which is good. So I think we're going to get a very decent movie out of it. Hugh Jackman can't go wrong in anything he's doing. I like him a lot. So I'm going to sit there and say that's going to be a great movie. Probably going to be the one we're going to talk about out of the next 2 years.
Okay. Do you got to make $1 billion?
Oh, potentially, yeah. Potentially, yeah. Because I there's going to be so much fan service in this movie. And the cool thing about Deadpool is that it's so comedic and over the top that you are accepting of the fan service. Like, you know what I mean? Like in the Flash movie, they did fan service, and everybody's like, oh, really, you could have cut this.
It's already farcical to begin with, so it's like, why not, like, add more in? You know what I mean? Why not bring in, like, you know, Fox X-Men characters and shit like that in the movie and all that kind of shit, right? Fuck it.
Yeah.
Why not?
I think we're going to get a lot. I think we're going to get a lot of fixing as they did, like they did with Deadpool 2, where he goes back and, like, he fixes
X-Men origins.
Yeah, I think
it's going to be a lot of cameos of a lot of like characters we've seen before in the past, I think.
Yeah, I think we're going to get a great movie. I think that's going to be, of all the movies, I think that's going to be the one. I think it's going to be the one.
Okay, and that would be out of, you know, the next one after that would be Captain America Brave New World. Now that's slated for February 12th.
I think everybody's waiting on Red Hulk. Everybody's waiting on Red Hulk. I think we all want that. I love Sam as Captain America. I thought Falcon and Winter Soldier. I thought that was great. I did enjoy that a lot. I enjoyed that a lot. I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the growth. I enjoyed Sam's growth into becoming something that he thought he didn't deserve. So once again, I love that growth. I love for these characters to learn something and say, you know what though? Like they weren't like saying like, I should be Captain America. No, he's like, I shouldn't be. And yet he is the best one for the job. So that, I think, was a great thing in that. I think it'll be a decent film. I don't really know a lot about it. I hope, I think the leader's in that movie as well.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the villain.
And so I think we're going to get Red Hulk. How they're going to work it, I don't know.
The one guy from Falcon and Winter Soldier, the Sam's friend there from the military is going to be the new Falcon.
Yes. Which he's in the comic books too, I believe.
He is.
Yeah. So that kind of pays off, which is nice, you know. I think it'll be a decent movie. I think everybody's waiting for Red Hulk. I honestly don't know what the story will be. My hope is that even though Red Hulk, which is a fantastic.
So you think when they throw Red Hulk in the trailer, that's going to be like a game changer.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm hoping for like Winter Soldier-esque. Like Winter Soldier, I thought was such an incredibly written movie. Captain America.
The series. Yeah, it was.
No. The movie. Captain America 2. Winter Soldier. I'm sorry.
Winter Soldier. Oh yeah, Soldier. Yeah, you know how I feel about Winter Soldier. What are you kidding me?
I thought that was
Russo brothers and Marcus
McPhee at their finest. At their finest, I thought that was so well written.
Those writers and those directors made four of the best MCU films ever made.
Right? And you know what the funny thing is?
Captain 3, Infinity War, and Endgame.
I mean, Captain America, who's a phenomenal character, was so grounded in that movie, and I thought that's what made the movie really, really great. Is that they really dumbed down the campiness of these superhero movies. I don't mind if you have a little bit of comedy in there here and there. But don't make it a funny movie. I don't think like the last couple of Thor movies, I think like Love and Thunder was horrible. I think the new one's going to be bad. I don't know if that's even on the slate that you're talking about there.
They haven't made any kind of official announcement that they're really doing the film yet.
Right. But I mean, like, I don't think I think these movies are deserving of a serious mode, a serious content. You can have a little lightheartedness in there, but I think they could be as serious as a Mission Impossible.
Well, what about the Thunderbolts? We got the Thunderbolts on May 2nd, 2025.
The letdown for me is that we've seen every single one of these characters. I don't necessarily hate them or anything like that, but it's so I'm really
they got Bucky and Yelena. Belova to lead the team. That's not a bad pairing, yeah. Right?
No. And then you have the Red Guardian. You have the
Ghost,
which was kind of a dumb character in a sense. I wasn't into her.
She's got potential. That character, I think.
Depending on what they do with her, you know. And then the Taskmaster.
She had some good. She could throw some hands and whatnot and shit like
and
that.
And then you got Taskmaster. But like, I think my problem is that we've already seen everybody, so it's now going to rely for me on the story.
Well, what if they bring in Zemo from Falcon and Winter Soldier?
You know what though? He bored the fuck out of me in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Really?
He really did. And Baron Zemo is a great character.
I love
my favorite. I'll tell you right now, my favorite. He is good. But I'll tell you, my favorite Marvel villain out of everybody is Red Skull. Red Skull is my favorite. So like
you Ultron.
Do, Ultron is very cool, but I don't see how you defeat him. You know what I mean? They make him so unbeatable that I'm like, there's no point to fighting. Like, what are you gonna do? Right? It's like.
What's his name? But, that voice dub was fucking great.
Oh, he was amazing. He was amazing. But my favorite is Red Skull. Red Skull was underutilized. I think he was great in the first Avenger.
They should have kept him around in the MCU. You know,
he would have been a good recurring
villain.
I mean, he's in what do they call it? In the dimension of the dead or whatever the frick he is. He's the guardian of the cliff or whatever the fuck they call it.
Yeah, on that planet.
Right. I mean, he needs to come out. And you know what? They're not for nothing. I loved in the animated series where he came back as the Iron Skull. He steals one of Tony's.
When Ultron became Mega Ultron or whatever, whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was in What If, right?
All that shit, the What If.
Yeah, yeah. But I loved in, like, I think it was Avengers Assemble.
Avengers Assemble, man.
As soon as they brought in
Miss Marvel, like Captain Marvel, into the team, right? It ruined the whole fucking show.
Everything. I couldn't stand it. But he was the Iron Skull, and I was like, that's a really cool turnaround. That like he needs Tony's suit to live.
Avengers Assemble, folks. Good ass fucking. It's probably the best Marvel animated like.
Show. Oh yeah, easily, like, easily.
Seriously.
What else you got on the slate there?
I've got. Fantastic Four, July 25th, 2025.
Love Pedro Pascal.
So how they're going to make that July commitment, I don't know. But either way, what are your thoughts on the film?
I love Pedro Pascal. The kid that's playing Johnny Storm, who was in Stranger Things, he's really good. I don't know the work of the woman that's playing Sue.
I do. She's pretty talented.
Is she?
Yeah.
They're having, what's it, like, I don't know if
she's 31, 32.
I don't know if, what is that? The robot that was in the, Fantastic Four 70s cartoon.
I
forget what that robot was called, but he was the replacement of Johnny Storm.
I know.
So
yeah.
Like I don't know if he's going to be in it or not. He's in like the advertisement and stuff like that. They're saying it's a period piece. I hope they don't make them campy. A lot of people are saying how are we going to get them into the present day MCU? My greatest bet would be is that they come out of the microverse, out of that city, and that's how they transfer time. It's the easiest. Yeah. It's the easiest writing trope to say.
The comic book word for it, the quantum realm.
The quantum realm. Yeah. So like I think being in that, I think that would be a great trope to bring him into the future. Maybe they fight. Because they want him to fight Doom, but they don't want Doom to be like God Doom.
Well, they're going to bring a kid. They're going to have a Kang by then.
My understanding is the guy that was playing in Fear the Walking Dead is yeah, heavily.
There's been several names. In. They might even cast more than one actor. But I'd love to see some Doctor Doom. I would.
Yeah, no, I would. Doctor Doom would be a great villain. What else do you have on there?
Last one would be Blade, and then your thoughts on the Spider-Man 4, which we just don't—it's going to be coming out at some point. You know, we just don't know until Sony and Marvel hash out their bullshit. We don't know, but we got Blade slated for November 7th, 2025. Four films next year.
I'm concerned with Blade because of how many rewrites we had to go through. I love that Mahershala Ali is saying, "Hey, if I'm going to put my name on this, this is not going to be shit.
So
it's not going to be garbage." Yeah. And I think that's great. I think that's fantastic. I hope we get a decent film because I got news for you. Wesley Snipes, Blade 1 and 2 were awesome. Blade 3 was not that great.
Without Wesley Snipes, Blade, there's no MCU.
Yeah. No, honestly. So, like, my point is, and Mahershala Ali was great in in Luke Cage.
Luke Cage.
Because he played Cottonmouth. But I think he's going to be great. I just think there needs to be a great story, setting up maybe the Midnight Suns would be awesome. Because there's talks of Ghost Rider coming around, so like that's a thing. So you know, what I mean, like I don't know enough about what's going on because I don't think they know enough about it. So I'm hoping, fingers are crossed for Blade. Spider-Man 4. I think it would be great to have a street level, like Kevin Feige would like to have. A street level. Let's not make it ridiculous. Let's have
your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Yeah, I think that would be a great, compelling story. Yeah, it brings it back to New York and stuff like that. Sony is still bitching. They want a multiverse Endgame level type of movie, and it's like we can't keep raising the bar, kids.
To restart a second trilogy here.
Yeah, I mean, you can't keep scaling because eventually you're going
to
get
his character up to be the college age now, Peter Parker, that's going back to New York, right? To like fight crime on the streets and shit and whatnot and everything.
I got news for it. We talked about this on your MCU's Bleeding Edge before. The movie I want to see is where he mutates into the Man Spider and Kraven the Hunter.
I remember we talked about that. Yeah. When you moderated the show that one night.
Yeah, I said, that's the movie that I want. I want a horror-esque movie where Peter turns into the Man Spider and Kraven out of some sort of duty, because maybe Parker fighting him saves him in some way, goes after him to try and maybe there's some other characters in there that want to take him down. And Kraven stops them from killing him because they could save Peter.
They could have done that in What If, but they think they were limited in how much they could use Peter
Parker. That's the movie I want.
In What If, I think Marvel Studios and Disney were limited in how much they could use the IP.
That's the movie I want. Everybody's talking about Miles Morales. Miles Morales is not my spirit.
They're saying he might be in the film.
Here's the problem. they created Miles Morales so that they have a new Spider-Man. Meanwhile, they have him up Peter's ass every 5 seconds. He's already depicted as a sidekick in two different cartoons. So there's no point to him. And he has the same villains. What was the point of him? And Miles Morales, as he's depicted, is the Black Peter Parker. Like, he doesn't have any distinguishing characteristics outside of Peter Parker. Like, I would want a more brooding, since you want to make him a minority character, right? As far as like race is concerned, maybe have him have these struggles where like he wants to feel downtrodden and he wants to feel like he's pressed, but because he has these powers, he has to rise above his own prejudices and own hatreds to know what's right and what's wrong. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, not just go the easy route of saying, I hate people and I hate this and I hate that. You know what I mean? Like, have him have these inner demons like that and then have new villains for him to fight. Then I'll get behind a Spider-Man like that and have him be by himself, right? Peter, as long as Peter's in the picture, that's going to be quote-unquote Kid Arachnid, not Spider-Man.
It's too soon. And honestly, after Madam Web, DJ, I don't think Sony has much pull on what happens with Spider-Man 4, really.
They don't, but they get to sit there and say, you know what, you can't use Peter. unless the contract's already signed, they could just pull Peter and then we're fucked, you know, as far as Spider-Man being in.
I hope it doesn't. Let's close this out, DJ. You got another show to do.
I do have another show to do.
Some plug-in, because DJV Productions Network is about to be back in action, essentially.
Right there. You ain't kidding. We've been off. Had a long sabbatical. Last time I recorded was June of 23. So, which is a long time. You're talking, it's over. It's like 7 months. 7, 8 months now. Pushing 9. There's so many shows on there, as you can see, Jeff scrolling through. I've uploaded some of my stand-up comedy on there as well. But we have brand new shows that are coming out. We have also new episodes coming out of old shows. To give you the slate of what's going on, we have my show Bite Me, which we talk about all kind of like outer worldly stuff. And it's not like, it's not sci-fi. It's not based on television or anything like that. It's based on like paranormal type of stuff. It's a real cool discussion. We're going to be talking about the theory behind Quantum Leap. So, you know, the show Quantum Leap, jumping into characters through time to try and fix their problems so they can go down a better path or whatever. We're going to talk about like what we believe the theory behind it would be. Then we have a new show coming out called What the Meme? What do you meme? Right? So that's where we're going to be showcasing memes off the internet and comedically talking about them, stuff like that. Pretty funny show. And then the Danny J show, which the only reason I have this show is because I have intro music and I had to use it. I created a show just because of my intro, right? We're going to be talking to the comedian Dave Hodge, who's a great, funny comedian. He's going to be on the show. We're going to be recording that this weekend as well. And then coming up, we have DJs After Dark. We have a new episode coming out. We have WTF, What the Fuck? That's going to be coming out with a new episode as well. And then, like I said, we have What Do You Meme? And Invite Me Tonight. And then, of course, once Jeff gets this done for me, this is going to be on the network as well, sharing it like a little multiversal scenario between me and the MCU bleeding.
You'll get the MP4 this evening, sir.
I will get it this evening. There you go. I'll put it up this evening as soon as I get it. So it's going to be great. I'm happy to be back in the saddle. I'm happy to be doing these shows. And Jeff and I are going to be, we got some slates. He's going to be on the Capes Not Included with us for a couple different episodes.
That's that we've got planned as well. I'm excited. Yeah. It's nice to go out and guest and not have to. And
it really is.
Be on somebody else's show once in a while.
It really is. That's why I love being on this show, because I don't have to do a fucking thing but show up.
Yes, I know. That's one of the biggest compliments for me of doing the Bleeding Edge, right? You know that, DJ.
Yeah.
That's why I've had you come over and guest moderate, right? And all that kind of stuff. It was a long time ago, right? But like, you know, at one point, folks, when I first started doing the Friday and the Sunday and stuff and whatnot on the weekends and whatnot, mm-hmm. everything, we expanded our shows from just the Wednesday nights. I was overwhelmed.
It's overwhelming.
Moderating three shows a week. You know, that was before me and Cyber used to, you know, do rotation stuff. And I brought in DJ Jesse Starcher, who you've met before, Danny, you know, people and whatnot. Alexis Hania when she used to be with us. Remember her, DJ? Yes. I'd have them moderate the shows for me and whatnot, everything, so I could just, you know, be on the panel.
Yeah, no, definitely. And when you do it all yourself, it's a lot. I don't go for pats on the back or anything like that. But on my network there's different genres of shows, multiple shows. They're not all dealing with the same content. I'm dealing with 16 different hosts that I have on my shows, and I produce them all, I edit them all, and I promote them all myself. So the word overwhelming is a constant. But I do love doing it, and I think it's great. And if you guys can go there, it's www.djbproductionsnetwork.com. It'll take you right to the YouTube channel. I do ask that you please subscribe, share the channel, go in there and just go through the playlist. You might find something you like. You might not like this show, but you might like that show. So like, check it out. There's all different stuff on there. There's different playlists of different things. There's comedy, wrestling, nerd stuff, as well as special interest stuff as well. We have a show called Those Crazy 80s, where we talk retro stuff from the 80s. There's all kinds of stuff. There's Chris Gordon is one of my good friends. He does a lot of music interviews with musicians and stuff like that. So there's a lot of stuff on there for you guys to check out and look at it and just have fun with it, man. Just
for real, folks, get the DJB Productions Network up to 300 subscribers by the end of the month. We'd appreciate it.
I need it, or at least one.
Yeah, I mean, come on. This is It's March 8th, right? Yes. So, like, it's March 8th. By April, let's get that subscriber count over 300, please.
Yes, please. You know, because I'll tell you, what I don't do is I don't pay for to push it out for subscribers.
Sure.
So everything you see there is organic. So I greatly appreciate everybody that has done it. But to give you an idea out there in YouTube land, like when you see sites that have like 1 million subscribers, 15,000 subscribers, in most cases, no matter how good a production it is, they are paying to get subscribers.
It's true.
Jeff will tell you that too. It's DJ a lot.
DJ knows how humbled I am. Honestly, I've known Danny for a long time. He knows that the only way we even got monetized and got to our first 1,000 mm-hmm. subscribers was just because I off cuff started doing those reaction videos to that band Bandmade that I love. Yeah. Right. And it so happened that band happened to be hot on YouTube that I didn't even know was trending. Right.
Yes.
And so my reaction videos hit. Right. And that's what took us over that 1,000 mark. And once you hit that 1,000 mark, DJ knows from being in the game for a long time.
Yeah.
That's that line on YouTube where once you don't really, you're not going to catch. That's why it's so important.
No. You're right. It's the truth.
You got to hit that mark, because once we hit 1,000 subscribers, it just went.
And understand too, like Jeff is doing this like all the time. Like I give props to Jeff a lot because he's doing all this. He puts so much into it. He puts money into it. He puts effort into it. He really thinks it out. And what he does too, which is I think is great, as a content creator, just like I am or whatever, he's not afraid to sit there and say, "Hey Dan, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that?"
Sure.
And I try to give him like constructive criticism based on what I think, and then he'll do the same.
Oh, part of the collaborative spirit that comes out of the friendships that come out of recording and doing what we do, right? You know what I'm saying? Right. We're not right because Danny and I are friends.
Yeah, and, you know what I mean. And like we might like sometimes overstep on categories that we're doing, stuff like that. But if I see that he did it first and stuff like that, I'll watch and see what he does. And then I'll say, all right, I'm going to be doing it, but I'm going to have to do it a little bit different because of Jeff did this, and this.
So vice versa.
Different, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. And that's a respect thing, and of course, but like definitely support this. We do this as a major love of us doing, you know, we love doing this kind of stuff. We love interacting with people. Leave some comments down below. Go ahead and share the videos as well.
Please do. Definitely. We'd love to engage. And we'd love to, I'm sure DJ will get in the comment section and respond to anybody that gets in there. But let's get out of here, Danny. You got a show to do.
I do have a show to do. So guys, thank you so much.
It was good to see you.
It was good to see you as well. Guys in the MCU Bleeding Edge, have a great day. And if anybody liked Ms. Marvel or Captain Marvel, you'll never be on my shows ever again.
There you go. You heard the bad.
Hey, yo, Jay, can we get some ratchet one time?
Look, I don't want to talk. How you try and press the kid and really you was soft. All you know is capping homie, you don't know the law. Pedal to the metal, you ain't catching me in park. I just hit the